Our message today is called Blessed Are the Merciful. We're continuing our series on the Beatitudes, and we still have Fern's plaque here that has the Beatitudes on it. And it's a good thing to remember, remember the Beatitudes. Remember, I've asked you folks to, really on a daily basis, to go through the Beatitudes and read through those. You notice on the back of your little scripture sheet as the Beatitudes with a line on them. They are not all the same lines as the blanks as last week. All right? So don't think this is just a repeat of what it was. So try to fill in the blanks if you can with what's there. Again, it's different from last week, but it's still the same scripture verses that are there. And so the idea is that we are trying to get you to review scripture, meditate on scripture, and allow God to work through you and through His Word to be able to put Christ in you and to accept Him as Lord and Savior and maintain that relationship with Him. It's not just a matter of saying, yeah, I did that 30 years ago. I don't need God anymore because I'm saved. It doesn't really work that way. You know, God really wants you to participate in His ministry every day that you're living with Him. So let's begin with a word of prayer. We're going to be looking at the Beatitudes here. Father, we thank You for this time, and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You how special Your Word is and how it brings us closer to You. I don't know how it really works. I don't think I can define that sort of thing. But in Your realm of creation, You made us to be able to reason, to be able to hear You, to be able to have a heart for You. And as we talk about Scripture, Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit just to work on each individual heart here and to bring us closer to You. We all have our individual hurdles. We all have our struggles that we have. God knows that. But He wants more than anything. He wants your heart. He wants you to know Him. So we pray for that very thing to happen here today. And we just appreciate Your great love. This we pray through Your Son Jesus. Amen. So let's go through those Beatitudes again. Matthew 5, 1 through 10. And it begins with Jesus taking His disciples and teaching them. And here he starts talking about the Beatitudes. He goes in. Remember, chapter 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew. It's all red scripture wording in my Bible because it's Jesus speaking. And he says this is how it begins. He says, "Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" We talked about that already. So if you missed those messages, you can always go back online to the HarrisvilleChristianChurch.com website. And my messages are all listed on there. There's a few other things in there too. The calendar's in there if you want to. But the idea is you can go back and listen to what we talked about with the poor in spirit. It's not about poor in wealth, but it's just realizing that you don't have anything to offer to God because He's so much more than you. But because we realize that we're humble before God and we don't have that spirit or the something to really impress God, is that we just need Him. We need to draw to Him. And that though we don't have anything really to offer God, God wants us and loves us. And we're so blessed that He has chosen us to be His son, His daughter. He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Those who mourn what? The fact that we've missed God for all those years prior to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not doing the things that we ought to do, which would be His will. We put our will over His will, and we realize how terrible, how we mess things up so much. But even in that, we will be comforted because we know that God can take a beautiful vase that's been shattered and broken, reconstruct that into a beautiful whatever He wants it to be. You know, it's probably another vase of some sort, but to be able to be usefulness. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." The meek, we're talking about those that are teachable, those that are humble before God. Right? And God says, well, we'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This we talked about last week. You have to have a hunger for the Lord. Why? I don't know. There's so much that God has to offer. How can you say, I just want one word from God, that's enough for me for the rest of the year, for the rest of my life? It's not enough for me. For me, I want more and more and more. I want to be able to experience Him in different ways. And we do that sometimes in solitude. Sometimes we do it with other individuals. Sometimes we do it when we're traveling and we meet somebody at a motel who speaks our language, you know, the Spanish language. And then you can pray with an individual, right? That is getting more and more. And actually, when family gets together and you be able to have a conversation about God, where you think that conversation could never happen, and yet it does happen. Right? So we hunger and thirst for those events. Not just that hunger and thirst for it, but for God's righteousness. His righteousness. And it's so cool to be able to have that. Today we're going to be looking at, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as I said already, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And this is where we're going to begin our message about this particular verse right here. Just so that we are understanding on this, does anybody have a good definition of what mercy is?
Goodness.
It's about forgiveness, very much. The two are very much tied together. I'm going to be talking about that coming up. Yeah. Pat?
Mercy is not getting what you deserve, with which if you sin would be punishment.
Yeah, yeah.
So He gives us mercy.
Yeah. God doesn't put the punishment on us that we really deserve. And it's because of the forgiveness that we have from God. What's that?
Empathy.
Yeah. Yep, all of that. So the idea is that, well, at least we have an understanding of what mercy is. So as we go through the message, that you'll be able to see what we've got. Now, what's also interesting about this particular verse is that it's kind of neat, is that there is a direct correlation to receiving mercy within this scripture verse. So if you want to receive mercy, what do you have to do? You have to show mercy. Okay? So, if you don't show mercy, you know, you can look at it from the negative aspect of that. Now, from an individual perspective, God continues to show mercy to us even when we don't deserve it. Right? So I want to be clear about that sort of thing. But there is a bit of a expectation within this particular verse that you are expected to do something. Now, I was listening to a pastor speak over the internet. I really like this pastor. I don't even know his last name. It's Pastor Paul. And he made a comment that just kind of struck me. And I want to share that comment. We know that the gift, that salvation is a gift. You can't do anything to earn that. Right? We're all in agreement with that sort of thing. And he made this comment. What makes you think all of his other promises are free? And I'm just giving you a moment to think about that. Because we think that if salvation is free, that all of God's promises are free. Just they're just out there. That's exactly right. Yeah, there's an if and there's a but that goes with those. If you love me, but if you don't do these things, right? So it kind of just snapped in my head, and I just wanted to share that. I haven't really processed it completely, but I just want to share that aspect of it, is that, yes, God has given us mercy through salvation. But there are so many other promises that are out there that sometimes we need to work for them. And so becoming a Christian, we know, is relatively easy. There's no cost. We believe. Our faith does that. But once you are a Christian, I'm telling you right now, it's harder to live as a Christian than it is to live as a worldly person. So there's struggles that are out there that you're going to receive and have to endure that other people aren't because you call yourself a Christian. So God is saying at this point, right here in this verse, show mercy as I have shown mercy to you. And mercy will be given to you. So it's important to think that about that in terms of your walk with God. So let's look at some other scriptures that we have here. We're going to go to Luke in 11:28. Jesus is saying these particular words. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God. Boom. And we stop right there. We can hear all of God's word and we think, oh, it's such a blessing. God spoke, I heard, and I'm going to go out and do my stuff. But you see, that scripture doesn't stop there, does it? It said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It's not about just hearing God's word. It's not about just reading scripture as a text and to go from page 1 all the way to page 1897. And say, got through that book. Now I'm going to go on to my next book. And it's going to be one of those Harlequin series, you know. And you can't decipher the difference between those two. No, it's when you read scripture and it touches you and it changes you. Those are the individuals that are blessed. If you want to be blessed, hear God's word and obey it. You may not understand it. You may not be able to comprehend the reason behind it or what's the long-term effect, what's the short-term effect. But by faith, we believe what God has written here is for us and for our goodness. It's not just to know, but it's to do as well. Wasn't it Peter that said, you know, faith without works is dead. Right? You know what you're supposed to do, but you don't do it. What does that mean in the eyes of God? Let's look at this one here. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make a poor man, but diligent hands bring wealth. Well, we know that. The harder you work, the more you make. And we're talking about that physical stuff. Let's forget about the material stuff. Let's look at this maybe a little bit from a spiritual perspective. All right? How about those that are lazy in their relationship with God? What does it do? Makes them a poor person. Right? You're not rich with God at all. But a diligent person, a person that studies God's word, a person that takes time to pray to God, a person that listens to what God says and does what God says, oh, that brings great wealth. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a great relationship with God our Father, that when there is trouble coming down the road, you're still the person that has joy in your heart when everyone else is like falling over. And they looking at you and say, how can you be joyful in a time like this? Because you can say, I have Christ and I know my God. You see, that's what it talks about. So when we look at Scripture, we look at it from that perspective. We go on and we become different. This one here in Mark 4:24-25 says, consider carefully what you hear. Oh, wait a minute. We just had a Proverbs about hearing, but also, in Luke where it said that. But it also says, Be careful what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whatever he has will be given more, or whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Well, you know, we look at this, and again, if we go back to when we look at that, rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You've heard that story before. But this is not talking about the material wealth. Right? It's talking about your spirit and your walk with God. Be careful what you hear. You can hear a lot of stuff that actually amounts to nothing. One of the things that really stopped me from being up at night at 2 o'clock in the morning out with my telescope and photographing some of the stars and, you know, the moon and stuff. It's really a lot of fun to be able to do that. And while I was working like full time and had the kids, you know, get tired of doing stuff like that. But I just realized that, you know, there's so much out there that we just don't know and we will never know. So what's the point of knowing it? And so you're trying to learn about all the cosmos, and basically it's just a guess. It's all theories. We have no idea how this world, this universe, and all the ways that it works together, we're just guessing. Right? God knows. But for us, what's important is the here and the now, what we're at and what we're doing. So be careful what you hear, what you put in your mind. Is it important stuff or is it just trivial, worldly stuff? Because when we start looking at this measuring thing, you know, how we rate other people, how we decide to do this versus that, it says that measure will be coming back upon us. Right? And how we measure and how we look at other people, the amount of mercy that we show other people might be how much mercy God gives us outside of salvation. Right? Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does more mercy will be given more. Whoever does less mercy will be given less. Thought. Look at this one here in Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Remember, salvation is a gift. But not all other promises of God are gifts like that. That's a special one. God expects us to be a willing participant of His will and to do it His way. And yet we always say, Lord, please, when my cousins come up who have got such trouble with them and everything, if they're nice to me, I'll be nice to them. But as soon as they say that one word, I'm going to lose it. And you know I'm going to do it, and you're going to give me the, you know, whatever. And God's going to say, just chill, Mike, just chill. No, when they come up, you're going to show love no matter what they do. And I'm going to say, but you don't know what they... God says, yes, I do know what they did to you. You don't know how they keep doing it? Yes, I do know how they do that. But you are going to show love because that's my attribute. And you're going to show my attribute to them. You need to forgive as I forgave you. So Tom is right. Mercy and forgiveness are tied together pretty closely. To think about that, that if I do not, if I choose and refuse to forgive those that have hurt me, God says, He won't forgive me. I'm going to forgive. Even if it doesn't feel like I should forgive. But that forgiveness is an act that I purposely make. Doesn't mean I'm going to feel different about the person. But I forgive them. I have to. Because it's God's nature to forgive. And it's part of my nature now too to forgive. And if I go against my nature, then it grumbles inside of me. It ails me and it makes me sick sometimes. I mean, let's look at this one scripture verse here where it talks about a forgiveness thing. And Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I'm going to read it. And it's the parable, in this case here, of the talents. We're going to get to the parable of the unmerciful servant as well. So let me go to Matthew. Let's just see what it is here. Matthew 25. And the reason we're looking at this one here is because... Where am I at? By 14. Oh, they're down on the bottom of the page. He says, he's talking about the kingdom of God. And he says this sort of thing. He begins and talks to his disciples. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. One he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. So God distributed his wealth unevenly to the people, right? Well, that's not fair. He got 5 and I get 1. But God says, according to their ability. And everybody has different abilities, right? So it's, and God knows that, but he's giving according to what is there. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So, how long did this person wait in order to start working to put this money to work? He did it right away. He didn't hesitate at all. Right? And that's really what God wants us to do. It seems like the person that has an awful lot, that has some. Then it says, look at this. Look what it says here. Also, the one who was with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. It did not say he started right away. So everybody does it slightly different. The one with 5 started right away. The one with 2, in time, he gained 2. All right. But then, the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See? I've got again 5 bags more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's inheritance, your happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you had heard. You are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked lazy, okay, there's that word again, lazy servant. You knew that I will harvest where I have not sown or gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banks so that when I return, I would receive it back with interest. That's not the end of the story. It continues. It says, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. and throw this that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, there was an expectation where the master gave something of himself. In this case, we can understand bags of gold, right? It really was quite a bit of money. Two of them put that money to work, working for their master. Not for themselves, but working for their master, even though he was away. The third individual took that bag and hid it and did his own thing, not even thinking about that bag until the master returned. And said, "Oh, here's your gold, by the way. I buried it so no one could steal it. I didn't put it to use. I didn't do what you wanted me to do with it." And God called him, or the master called him, a worthless servant. Be merciful, for you will receive mercy. Be merciful, for I command it. As a Christian, we need to be looking at Scripture and have it make a difference in our lives. So we get to Luke 6:37 through 38. It says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged." We do this one, we know this all the time. Don't judge me. But that's not what the Scripture is saying. Don't go around, "Armando, when was the last time you took a bath? Because you stink." Right? "Loretta, seriously? You wore that shirt three times now this Sunday, every Sunday and stuff like that." "Doran." No. I can't say too much about Doran, but no. No, it's like you go around and you're being judgmental on everybody and all the things they do. And God's saying, just don't judge people. As I already said, what are we supposed to do as Christians with other people? We're supposed to love them. All right? And you could say, you can smell Armando, and he smells. He doesn't really smell. I'm just joking. Right? But just say, he did. It's okay to say, "Armando, take a bath." I've done that with some of my students at school. If you don't take a shower at home, you can go down to the locker room and shower. Right? And there's changes of clothes. Some rooms, they've got that for you. Please, just go do that sort of thing. And remember that message I did, poo on my shoe, ages ago? It was like, I don't know if I have that one. It was kind of funny. I was walking around thinking everybody smelled, and I had cow or dog poop on my shoe, wherever it was me that smelled, And I'm judging all these people that they stink. It was me. And it was like, I felt so bad about that, sort of thing. I didn't say anything to those people, but my mind was spinning, right? Why do all these people stink? And it wasn't until I stood still, where you could really start to smell it. Because when you're moving, it's behind you. And it's like, now that I'm thinking, all the people must have thought, "Boy, Mike stinks." And it's like, they never said anything. And it's like, whatever. But anyhow, it goes over here. Forgive, and you... Oh, I'm sorry, I should... Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and runneth over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use will be used to measure you. How you treat other people, it's almost what we call this karma, but it's not karma. It's what God's word is. And it's really something for us to be able to read Scripture and take it in for what it is and have that affect us in our lives. Right? And so we get the Scripture, we're looking at it, and this is a trustworthy saying. Just before this it says, this is a trustworthy saying, right? In 2 Timothy 2:11-13, if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. Right? And we're talking about if we die with Christ. If we're crucified with Christ, we'll be raised a new life with Christ, as He was raised a new life. But if we don't die with Christ, right, we don't put our old man or our selfish self aside, then we really haven't died with Christ, have we? And if we don't die with Christ, how will we do rise again, be risen with Christ? It says here, if we live with Him, I'm sorry, if we die with him, then we will live with him. If we endure, right, go through life, and not just going through life to exist, but go through life following God's commands the best way that we can with his strength, it says we will also reign with him. But if we just go through life and don't endure to be a Christian, give in to the worldly desires, do you really know God? Do you really call Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you turned over to that new life? If we disown Him, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the whole package, He will also disown us. Ouch. That hurts. So many people say, yeah, I love God, God is my Savior. And then they go out these doors and you wouldn't know them from anybody else in this world. Because there's no uniqueness, no godly character in them when they leave these doors here. Do you really own, call God your Lord? It says here, if we are faithless, right? We just don't have it. We know who God is, but it's just like it's really hard and struggling. We're not at that point yet. This is a promise. God will remain faithful to us. God doesn't change based upon the times of the seasons or the eras or the years that we've got. He's the same God as He was in the past, as He is now, as He will be in the future. For He cannot disown Himself. God will not lie, never can lie, because He's God. It's pretty awesome to be able to have that. So can we trust God based upon this? The answer to that is yes. Do we understand Him? The answer to that is probably not. Can we see some of who He is? Yes, we can. Can it touch our lives and make a difference? Yes, it can. Will it grow and become more? Yes, it will, if you stay in connection with God. And ask and seek some more. Here's another trustworthy saying in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. What does that mean? Listen carefully! Alright, this is going to mean something to you. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is Paul speaking. Now, why does Paul think he is the worst sinner? Does anybody know why? Yep. He persecuted Christians before he became one. He wanted to put them in prison. He wanted them dead. And he felt like he was doing God a service by wiping out Christians. He separated families. Yep, he did all those things. And God showed him mercy. Right? He says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. You know what Paul's saying? I'm the number one sinner of this world by crucifying Christians. By destroying homes. And I was proud of it. I gained power by doing that sort of thing. But when I met Christ, that all changed. Christ showed me mercy. And my life is not the same as what it was before, because now I am showing mercy to those that I persecuted. In fact, I've become one of them. And I'm showing love even to those who persecute me. You see, Paul changed. He died to the self and was raised to new life with Christ in the center of his heart. And because Christ is the center of his heart, he changed completely. He became a church planter. He'd been one of the greatest evangelists that are out there. There's books, epistles that are written, that are reread around the world in multiple languages and understood very clearly because God has gifted him with bags of gold and he did something with it. And God said, good job. Very good job. In Romans 14, 17 through 18, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, right? The physical things we have. And we're not just talking about eating and drinking. Don't stick it just to that. It's not about just working a 9-to-5 job. It's not just about being married and having kids. It's not just about, you know, having a boat and all the fishing gear that goes along with it. But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So where's that big bass boat in that story where it talks about having righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit? Can you have a big bass boat? Sure, it doesn't matter. But if that's your focus, maybe you can have that bass boat so that you can take your grandchildren and have a beautiful time with them. Teach them how to fish. While you're out there fishing, you can be also talking about God and sharing Scripture, sharing how your life is changed because of who God is. So you see, that's what we're looking for. He says, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So if you want to know something about how to please people, or I'm sorry, how to please God, right there. You can take care of the widows, the orphans. All that stuff pleases God because you're putting others first above yourself. And you're not doing it to glorify yourself. Oh, Mike, look, I talked to 3 widows this week and you know, and shared with them. No. What's important is that they were touched, right? Because somebody cared for them just as God cares for them. And we get to do that physical that touching and to deal with them. And I know how special that sort of thing is. Anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God. And guess what? It translates into being pleasing to people as well. All right. Here we have this other parable in Matthew 18, 23 through 27. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents. Now you figure like a talent might be like worth $1 million. So you got $10 million. It was quite a bit of money, right? At least it is for me. It was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. How would you like that? How would you like the government to be able to come in and say, oh, look, you owe taxes and you haven't been paying, so we're going to take those taxes right now, your car, your house, you know, and everybody else, gone. Because you haven't had those back taxes that you haven't paid in ages are all going to be paid up right now. That's going to change your whole life. Right? Everything about that you wanted in the future is just completely gone. And look what happened. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. What did the master show right there?
Mercy.
It showed this individual mercy. Did the master have the right to collect all of that money at once? Yes, he did. Did he have the right to put that entire family in jail until they paid up their debt, of course. He had the right in which to do that, but the master showed mercy. Well, I'm going to just ad lib the rest of the parable. And this very man that was shown mercy went home, and because he wanted to pay off his master's debt, he decided to collect money that people owed him. So he goes to a person that owes just a few bags of silver, which is minimal, grabs him by the throat and chokes him, Not literally, but I mean, I think he did. Actually, he grabbed him. It says in the scripture. And then what happened was, you pay me back now. I'm going to throw you and everybody else into jail until it's all paid up. And that guy just begged for mercy. He said, I'll pay you back. Just give me more time. The guy said, no, you're going to jail. And he had the right to put him in jail because he didn't pay off his debt. Other servants heard about this, let this first master know about it. He says, you know, this guy here that was showing mercy is not showing mercy to those around him. So the master calls him back and said, why did you do this thing? When you have been shown mercy, much mercy, why couldn't you show a little mercy to other people? And you know what the master did? Threw him in jail and made him pay back everything it is. That mercy that was shown to him was taken away. God has forgiven us. And if we don't forgive those, God says, I'm not going to forgive you. We are expected to show mercy, even when it doesn't make sense to us. And then we've got to be careful about that sort of thing. So in Romans 2:13, it says, For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Do I have to expound on that? I've been kind of doing that since my whole beginning of the message, right? It's not just about knowing that this is God. It's putting your faith into God. And the God that we have, not just any God. In Romans... I have to click down here again. So we look at this last part here, this, and it just says, blessed are those who show mercy. Right? For they will be shown mercy themselves. Because mercy what? There you go, I like that. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Yeah. It doesn't make sense in this world, but it does with God. So as we read the Beatitudes, and you're going through those again this week, take time, not just to read them through in a minute and a half, or a minute, whatever it takes, but to study and meditate on those words. Let God speak to you what needs to be done with your life. Because when you do that, you open yourself up to allow God in. He'll clean house. He's great at doing that. But you know what? He loves you so much. And that's why He wants to clean house. So that you can have that closer relationship with Him. And you'll find that you'll have closer relationships with other people when you not only hear His Word, but you act upon His Word and follow Him. Amen? Father, we just thank You for this Word. We thank You for this time. And be with us. We do ask You to be patient with us, Lord. We're slow. I wish we could get it right the first time. But You know who we are. And You are a merciful God. We thank You. And we thank You with our mercy towards others. This we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.